Shalom Aleichem. Rabbi Kovacs here. Mishnah Yomi is in chapter 10 of Bava Batra, the last chapter, Mishnayot 3 and 4 today. Kotvin get le'ish. We can write a divorce document for a husband, afal pi she'ein ishto imo, even though the wife is not present. And of course, we cannot do vice versa. We can't have the woman go and get a get written by herself without the husband, because she might be faking the whole thing. It's really the husband's job to initiate and follow through with the giving of that document. V'hashover, we can write the receipt. Now, this shover is a receipt that she's been paid the kesuva, the ketuva payment that she's owed if there is a divorce. Shover le'isha, we can write it for her. She can go to the sofer and get a receipt written, afal pi she'ein ba'leima, even though the husband, soon-to-be ex-husband, is not there with her. But the husband can't go by himself and get the receipt written, because then he could be holding the receipt and make it look like he had already paid her the ketuva that she is still owed. But the Mishnah notes, ubevojge makirin, but this is only when the sofer recognizes these people, meaning knows that these people are the actual couple that's involved in this get and receipt transaction, that there's not another person with the same name, you know, another Reuven ben Shimon, who's married to a Rachel, and there's another Reuven ben Shimon married to a Rachel in the same city. Now, that would be a problem. In the Gemara, they say they would have to come, all of them, both couples, even the one not getting divorced, would have to be present to make sure we have the correct couple, and we don't have a case where the husband maybe has been bribed to acquire a get for Rachel, but it's actually the other Rachel that he's not married to. And vice versa, we don't want to have a receipt written that someone's paid their ketuva, and the woman will go and give it to another guy, and that guy will pretend that he's paid his ketuva when he really has not. And the Mishnah concludes, abal notin schar, and the husband is supposed to pay the sofer both for the get and for the receipt. Now, it's based on a concept we saw in Masechet Gittin. The husband has to own the get and then give it over to his wife, and it could be the agent of the husband. Now, actually, in the Gemara, they explained that they changed this rule, and they said, really, the wife should pay for the get, because sometimes the husband would be reluctant, and there have been cases where they find this husband in an airport somewhere on his way to India, and he's running off to go climb mountains or something for the rest of his life, and they only really have one chance to get the get. Then the wife would happily pay for it to make sure she can get taken care of. And the Mishnah continues this theme. Kotvin shtar, we can write up a loan document, lelove, for the borrower. Afal pi she'ein malve imo, even though the lender didn't come with him to the scribe, to the sofer. Because, of course, it's saying that he owes money. He's not going to have this written up, you know, unless he's going through with a loan. It would be to his detriment to have such a piece of paper floating around. Ein kotvin lemalve ojei love imo. But we can't write up a loan document for the lender unless the borrower comes with him. Because it could be the lender did not lend any money to the borrower, but he's pretending that he has. Valove notin schar, and the borrower is the one who pays for the paperwork. Similarly, kotvin shtar lemocher, we can write up a sale document, like a deed, to the seller. Afal pi she'ein lokeach imo, even though the purchaser didn't come with him. Ve'en kotvin lokeach, but we don't write a deed for the purchaser, ajei mocher imo, until the seller is there with him, saying, yes, I'm selling this item, this car, this land, whatever it is. Halokeach notin socher, and the buyer is the one who pays for the paperwork. The transaction is primarily for his benefit. On to Mishnah Dalid, ein kotvin shitoi arusin v'nisuin elemedat shnehem. We do not write documents that are for betrothal, like engagement, erusin, which is kiddushin, and nisuin, a document of marriage. Now, this can refer to what they call tanaim, when the family is promising to provide different things to support the young couple and get them off the ground, or send them to kolo for a few years, whatever it is, halavai. Both parties, or sometimes both families, have to be there and be involved in this process. So we're not putting more obligation on one side without their consent. V'chatan nosen ten socher. The groom is the one who pays for all the paperwork. Also, ein kotvin shitrei arisut v'kablanot elemedat shnehem. We do not write up documents about sharecropping obligations. Kablanot is tenant farming, when the farmer pays a certain amount to use someone's land. And arisut, we've discussed, he gets a portion of the crop that he grows. They both have to be there. since this contract will create obligations on both of them. Famekabel noten socher, and the one who is accepting to go work in the field, the sharecropper, the renter, pays for the paperwork. Ein kovin shitve brurin. We do not rate documents of birur is like breira, is like choosing or clarifying. V'chol maase beitin, and any document of court judgments, court orders, eli midat shnehem, unless it's with consent of both parties to litigation. Now, the document of Berurin, we're actually going to see in the pretty soon, a few days, in Masechet Sanhedrin, is sometimes that one party would choose one judge, and the other party would choose one judge, and then the judges would choose the third judge for a three-judge panel. Shneim notin sachar, the Mishnah says, and both of them split the cost of the paperwork. Both litigants have to be paying filing fees and court fees to cover this paperwork. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, Rav Shimon Gamliel adds, Shneim kotvin shneim. Both of them get written two copies. There's two documents. Lazei la'atzmo, one for himself and the other for himself. And in the Gemara, they explain what happened was when they go to court, there's a court recorder, like an official stenographer, who's writing down the arguments that both sides are advancing in court, the halachic arguments, the legal arguments, writing them down so the judges have something to refer to make their decision, and they would give a copy to each litigant. But you know, each person could say, listen, I want to have my arguments in front of me on a piece of paper so I can know what I've said already and what I still need to say, but I don't want a copy of what I'm saying to go to the other party because he's going to start poking holes in it and attacking it and, being more quarrelsome than need be. Understand, if we're going to court, there's a quarrel, but there's no need to make it vindictive or make it, really hard feelings. The idea is to get the legal arguments, the halachic arguments out in court, have the judges figure out exactly what's going on, halacha lemaisa, and then after that, shake hands and be friends again. And having the other guy have a copy of all your arguments to go and take home with him and review after the case is closed, that would not lead to good feelings. Yashar kochachem, tizkulu mitzvot.